Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good to be garden in the name of the Lord Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good to be garden in his house. Gary, pick that instrument up again. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a wee song. I know it was the blood. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I'm glad that he went to the cross. Hallelujah. Says, you know, the prince of this world, had he knew, they wouldn't have crucified him. But he come to this world for that reason. He come to die. Come to give his life.
Amen.
For lost sinners. Didn't come to call the righteous. He come to call the unrighteous. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I want us just to sing it tonight. Sing it just to the Lord tonight. And lift up his name tonight. Amen. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. And his grace Sent his Son into this world. He came into this world to what to do? To seek and to save sinners. To rescue you from this world and from the devil. You know, when the devil comes, I heard someone the other day and they were saying, they said, you know, whenever Eve gave Adam the apple, you know, people have some queer ideas, haven't they? You know, when he gave him the apple, you know, God didn't condemn man for eating an apple, no way. You know, we know what the sin was in the garden. God has opened our understanding and give us enlightenment this last day and this last age that we would know the truth of the Bible and know the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I'm glad for that thing tonight. I'm glad for mercy tonight. I'm glad for grace tonight. I want to read tonight from Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. And maybe we just turn in the word of the Lord tonight and all. And we're glad to see our sisters and our brethren that's visiting with us. We're glad to have them. And we hope the Lord will bless them. And we hope they'll have a good time when they're here. And we hope the weather will be good while they're here. For sometimes there's a lot of rain here. And sometimes it can be cold enough. But the weather hasn't been too bad this last while. But praise God tonight for his mercy. You're very welcome, brother and sister. It's nice to see you. And you know, whenever we were in Australia, I know people were lovely people. Fine people, the same in New Zealand too. And God really undertook and God blessed us. We were blessed just for being, even if you never were speaking in the meetings or anything, only being there and meeting the people, that was a blessing in itself alone. And you know, we enjoyed it so much. It was so good and so uplifting and so refreshing. And I hope tonight that our brethren and our sisters will be uplifted. Hope tonight that something will be said tonight that will sort of encourage them more. That will uplift us tonight. That will bless us tonight. And we know that we can't turn to God's word, even if there's nothing expounded or said about it, even the reading of it. God blesses the reading of his word. And God blesses the hearing of his word tonight. And I pray tonight that the Lord will open our hearts and open us to understand the things that are said tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we just bow in thy presence and we ask you, Lord, to come. And Lord, I pray for wisdom tonight to what to say and what to do. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, God, bless thy people. Bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, we're thankful to be here. We're glad for your mercy. And we pray tonight, Father, that thou indeed will speak to us tonight in the precious name of Jesus. For we ask the Lord in thy precious and holy name. Amen. Maybe Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read a few verses. Maybe we just could stand for to read the word. Praise the Lord. Amen. And, praise God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, that's a wonderful portion. It says, you know, starts off, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye by, and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Therefore ye dispense money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." And we know God will bless his word tonight. You may be seated. Praise God tonight for his mercy and for his grace. Hallelujah. I want to say this tonight, you know, come without money. You don't need money to acquire this tonight. And maybe just for a short while, I want to encourage you and just look at this just for a wee while tonight. But you know and I know, if you listen to the news today, we've never lived in an age like this age. We have never lived in a time like we're living in. And if you watch television or watch the news on TV, you'll see that there's wars almost everywhere. Wars. And you know, I remember hearing a man saying one time years ago, he said that how they got together after the Second World War was finished and how that they said there would never be another war, and that how that they would form, there wouldn't be wars, they wouldn't do it all over again what had been done because of the millions of people that lost their lives and were killed. Both, even people from the different countries that warred against one another. And you know, that's contrary really to what Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? He said there shall be war and rumors of war, famines and earthquakes are determined unto the end time. He said there would be that. And you know, today you have governments all over the world and they have really rejected God's word, really rejected God's truth. And you know, you can put on TV and you can watch some of the religious programs that are on TV. Some of them are good. I'm not condemning any of them. And you know, I heard a man and he was on not so long ago. He was talking about angels. He wrote a book on angels and visitation by angels. Now, I believe that an angel can visit you, no doubt. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, look, that happened in our time, and in our day. How that an angel came to a servant of God. And you, these here, they'll write books, but this, they'll never name Brother Brown. And they'll never name how the angel come to them. And like the angel didn't just come once to Brother Branham. He comes several times, probably hundreds of times to them. And that will not be named or not be said. And we were just talking one day, John and us, and we were talking and we were saying, I think it was John that said to me about the taxis where they didn't, the driver was only there to assure the people. And at the car was actually a driverless car, but the driver was just in the car to give reassurance to the people. Not so long ago, a son of mine, he came up and he had bought a new motor and he says, "Dad, you pull her in there, have a drive in her, have a drive in her." Well, to me, people might think, and not the little in anybody's motor or anything, but to me a car is just a car. It's just a car. The only thing that I would have any real interest in, that I would maybe think a bit more of a car would be a Land Rover or a tractor. But that's me. But everybody has their own different thing like. But let's say it tonight. But he says to me when we pulled up to the house and all to park, he says, "Don't touch the steering wheel. And don't touch the brakes. Don't touch anything. She'll park herself." And I said, "Why, I couldn't do that. Because my neighbour's car, two of my neighbours, one's in front and one's in the back. And there's just really a small, there's just the space of a motor to park them unless you can sort of, I'm not saying I'm a great driver, but unless you can drive, you really couldn't park between them because they're up, right upright." So, and I said, "I couldn't take that chance, why something will happen." And I says, "Here, you take her." So he got in and I got on the passenger side and he never touched nothing. And the car parked herself. She parked herself. And you know, some people you see will say, "Oh, that's technology." But listen, the prophet of God told that when there was none of that technology. There was no mobile phone.
Amen.
There was no nothing. But a prophet of God said that he saw motors driving down the road and he said they weren't even facing forward in them. They were sitting facing each other. And he said they seemed to be playing a game like checkers. He said he saw it in a vision. You see, and many people today, and that just goes out over their head. Now, he's not the first prophet to say about God. Naaman in the Bible, or what is it? Nahum, said that the chariots would jostle one of another, that they would run like lightning.
Amen.
With torches on them in the day of his preparation. And all these things that are have all been told from the beginning. There's not one thing tonight new under the sun. All that there is have been before. God knew the end from the beginning. And God knew, just like God knew tonight in Scarborough Orange Hall, He knew tonight there would be people here from Australia, there'd be people maybe from different places. He knew tonight the names and the ages, the very hairs that you're in your head. He knew the number of them. He knew all about you ever before you ever come here. So you see, God is not in the dark, but God's all knowing. And God's in control tonight. He's in control of every situation. He's in control. Maybe you can't see it. You say, oh, I've heard all this before. Maybe you have. But you know, it's a strange thing. It takes God to come, the Holy Ghost to come and open your heart. It takes God, the Holy Ghost, to move on you, to open your understanding to the truths of the Bible.
Amen.
Now the Bible says that natural man can't receive the things of God because they're spiritual. They're spiritually discerned. And the natural man only understandeth natural things. But God's Spirit revealeth the things that belongeth to God. And God's Spirit can move upon you and reveal to you the truth. God might speak one word to you. And if God didn't give you one word and opened your heart with that word, then that word's a foundation that you can build on, because it's the Word of God. And you know, tonight there's so many different voices out in the world, and there's so many things out in the world tonight, and so many things even in the religious world tonight. This happened and that happened. Something else happened. And people say, oh, that there happened. Something else. Some other thing happened. But all out of all these things that are happening, it's good to be established in God's Word and to know what you believe and to know what the truth is and to know where you're going and to know tonight that God's in control. You know, we read in these verses tonight, he said, ho! As somebody shouted, ho at ye, ho! You'd stop.
Yes.
You'd listen. Ho! You know, you take the man in the Bible that was a leper, Naaman. You know, the prophet didn't come out to speak to him at all. He just sent a servant out. And the servant come out and he said to him, you're to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And you know, Naaman, he looked at him. And he looked at him and I suppose he thought to himself, he says, does this fella not realize who I am? Maybe he thought like that. And maybe goodness knows what thought he had. But he thought to himself, it says that he thought, surely the prophet will come out and he'll go through some big ceremony and he'll wave his hands over me and he'll say this and this to me and such a thing, and he'll recover me of my leprosy. Why did he come? He come because of the testimony of a little maid. That's why he come. He heard the testimony, a testimony of a little maid that was carried away, a captive slave in Naaman's house. She knows, she said to Naaman's wife and to those that were in the house, she said, there's a prophet in Israel. And she said that my master, if he was in Israel, God would recover him of his leprosy. You see, a word spoken sometimes, it might mean, maybe you might speak a word to a person someday and you might think that's all silly. Well, that's not all silly. Because if it's God's word somewhere, it's going to work in the heart.
Amen.
And you know, you could have heard it a whole lot of times and you might say, what am I hearing? I've heard this so many times. But someday, because that's a seed sown, some life has to come. And someday, whenever the light hits that seed, it will germinate to come forth into life to produce. Hallelujah!
Amen.
God's word, God says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Now this seed go down and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And you know he went away anyway. He went away anyway. You know, many a time, you know, some people maybe come in and they... I heard of a man one time and he sat in a gospel meeting for years, but he never seemed to do nothing. But you know, sometimes people, you know, they hear something and sing to go with it happening. But you know, you can't tell what God's doing. But the only thing that you know, when God puts His word out, there's one thing that He says that that word will not return to Him void. If you read on in this chapter, you'll read that. Says it will prosper in the thing where He sent it. It'll do what He sent it to do.
Amen.
And you know, a servant said to him, and he said, now if this prophet had, if he had it, come and sent the messenger out and said to you, go you down and do some great feat. Or somebody says, you know, he was a great man of valor. He was a brave man. He had done acts like God had given the ability to achieve great things that he'd done. And the things that he'd done, there were no doubt they were impressive. But you know, he passed the remarks to this man as he's going down, and he said to him, sure, he said, the rivers in our own country are they far, far back, the rivers in the Jordan. He said the Jordan's a dirty river. And like in our words, you couldn't go down to dip 7 times in it. But you know, that's what God required. When you come to God, you must humble yourself. You must come as you are. You can't do better. You can't say, I'll clean myself up and come to God. No, you can't do that. God never asked you to do that. Just as I am, that's what the hymn writer said, I'm without one plea, and that thy blood was shed for me. Lord, I come to thee. That's why I'm glad it was the blood. Hallelujah! And there it is. You know, he said there far better rivers. He said I could have dipped in them. But you know, God didn't say to dip in them. He said dip in the Jordan. You know, God's a God of detail. And if He tells you something, He means exactly what He tells you. You don't have to add to it, and you don't have to take from it. It's just like one time when Brother Branham went up, and he went up to pray for a person. He went in and the prayer and nothing seemed to happen. And then he thought back about the vision, and he realized that someone had come in the room and somebody else in the room, and then he looked around and they weren't there. They weren't in the room. But whenever the people come in that were supposed to be there, he prayed then and it happened exactly as it was in the vision. And you see, sometimes when God speaks to you, sometimes we're inclined to run on. No matter what is God has said, that's our nature. You know, we're all like that a bit. You know, I remember one time doing something, working on an old motor or something, and I sent one of my sons for a hacksaw and a street driver. And before I could tell him what I was saying, I said, I want you to go up the field. Till an old motor was in the top of the field. But that's all I ever got said to him. He took off. And he upped the field. And when he was halfway up the field, he come back and he says, oh, what do you want? And I said, you didn't wait to hear what I wanted. I want the hacksaw and the screwdriver. And you know, sometimes we're like that. And you know, sometimes you want to run before God, God will let you run. You know, whenever he obeyed what God said, when he come back, when he listened to the man that was with him and said to him, he'd asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. And then he realized, he said, boy, he said he didn't ask you to do anything great, he just asked you to dip 7 times in the river. He said, why not do it? So he done it. And when he dipped 7 times in the river, his flesh came like a little child. His leprosy left him because he obeyed what God said.
Amen.
You know, someone said one time, and not so long ago, I heard a preacher say it. Someone said to him, you never know what God's going to do. And he said, well, that's not altogether true. Because what God done once, He'll do it again. And if he ever healed a person, he healed another person. And if he ever healed another person, he healed and healed and healed and healed again if he ever. save a person. But listen, he'll not do it any other way than the way that he done it in the beginning. Through the blood.
Amen.
There's a wee song says that God leads his dear children along.
Yes.
Some through great sorrow, some through the fire, some through the flood, but all through the blood.
Amen.
You know, it's wonderful. God's able to do exceedingly abundant. Of all that we even can ask or think. You know, you take an arm on in the Bible like Jonah. And Jonah, God sent him with a message. But he didn't really want to go with that message. He knew what was going to happen, I suppose. He knew that they were going to repent and then the judgment wouldn't come. Maybe he wanted to see the judgment come, but anyhow, he decided that he wasn't going to go the road that the Lord had told him. And what did he do? He went in the opposite direction. He actually went on a ship that was going opposite from where he should be going. And you know, maybe your life can be a bit like Jonah. Maybe you're on a ship tonight. And you're going opposite from the road you should be going. Yes, maybe you're in this meeting tonight. Maybe you're going opposite from the road you should be going. But you know something tonight. God loves you. Oh, you said, I've heard that. Listen. God really loves you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God said in his word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
Who did he give him for? For me, for you.
Yeah.
That's who he gave him for nothing else. So God loves you tonight. You know, you say, you know, sometimes, you know, it's maybe, I remember, you know, whenever Tommy was talking about visiting this fellow that's in jail and all, but I'm sure Tommy won't mind me saying this. I remember when Tommy was in jail, and Tommy said about the jail, they say, jail's a great place. It is, if you're not in it. It's a great place. Well, we are there. I think it's a different story. But let me say this tonight. I remember going to visit Tommy, and he said they took his book off him, and whenever I went into the place and all, it was actually the Crumlin Road. Now it's closed up now, it's like a museum now, but it was in the Crumlin Road. And whenever I went in, I had to read out all my packets and torn out the inside packets and all. And you know, I sort of read out a bit of stuff before I went, because I sort of like would carry a whole range of stuff in my pockets. A wee fella, 14, might have any more stuff in his pockets than I would have. A whole lot of stuff, maybe that I don't really need. But anyhow, I went in, I had this all to read out. Whatever money I had to read it out. I had the whole thing to read out, and then you had to wait for the room and wait. Then they brought you into another room and brought you out through another room, and then they brought you into a room and had like a bit of a division on the table, and you sat on this side, and who was the prisoner sat on the other. And that's the way it was. And you know, it's maybe not becoming to say this really in a meeting, but forgive me tonight. The only thing that I could say about the Crumlin Road, it was a stinking hole. And that's all the words I could have described it. The very place, the very powers in that place that were in it, and the unseen forces that's there. You know, people who went some places and it doesn't make any difference to them where they went. They never know. But in some of these places, the spirits, disembodied demons, spirits that can't be seen by the natural eye. And those places are full of them. They're there like the way bees is round honey.
Yes.
And you know, people sort of maybe don't understand that. Remember now one of the times in the meeting when Brother Branham said the demons at the front here are calling to the demons at the back for help. And you know, some people, that's like foreign to them. You know, you ever see any of these films that they talk about aliens? You know, there is aliens. But now, there's aliens. There's plenty of aliens in our country today. They're aliens from the commonwealth of God and from the promises of God. They're without Christ. They need Christ. And you're an alien from the commonwealth of God if you're not born again. But tonight, thus, the good news is that you can be born again. The good news is that Jesus Christ accepts sinful man.
Amen.
The good news is that Jesus come to call sinful man.
Amen.
The good news that Jesus came for to conquer death and hell, which he done at the place called Calvary. You know, Brother Brown said he wounded that animal called Satan.
Amen.
I'm glad for that tonight. He wounded him with a wound that he might recover. But tonight I'm glad for mercy and for grace. But you know, Jonah got on the ship anyway, didn't he? And whenever God caused the seas to come up and a great storm arose, you know, that threw this out and threw that out. And then Jonah said to them, "You'll have to throw me out. You'll have to throw me overboard." He said, "If you don't throw me overboard, it'll be catastrophic." So they had to throw him overboard. But you know, God prepared to save a great fish for to swallow Jonah. You know, somebody said one time, you know, they said one time, somebody said, well, if I remember the teacher in school said that a whale couldn't swallow Jonah because its throat, it only swallows stuff like small creatures that it swallows, that it lives on. It couldn't open enough for to swallow a man. And you know, I knew that God made a fish swallow Jonah. It didn't make me disbelieve that. I knew that what God said was right. Then I heard a man say one day, he says, "But God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah." And then Jesus said, it was a whale, because Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so would the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Yes.
You know, Brother Brown one time preached about Jonah in the whale's belly. And he was preaching, and he said, "You talked about symptoms." He says, "Everywhere that Jonah looked was whale's belly."
Amen.
And it says he cried out of hell, out of the belly of hell.
Amen.
He cried out of there, and God heard him.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Branham said that Jonah, that the people of Nineveh worshipped the whale, or worshipped the big fish. And he says the next thing it swimmed up on the shore and spat Jonah out. He said Jonah walked down the gangplank. And they repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Amen.
And Jesus said about them repenting at it, and he said, "A greater than Jonah is here."
Amen.
And you know tonight, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is here. The Lord's here. But he says, "Where two or three are gathered," and he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And you know the prophet says here, "You spend money for that which is not bread." Now you take it today, and many women spend the money in the beauty parlor. And you take it today, how many boys spend the money with all the tight trousers that they wear that they shouldn't be wearing. And with all this sort of sissified stuff that they have today, and all that there sort of type of stuff. And you know, what's it for? It's a trend, it's a phase. And by God's grace, they'll come away from it. But you know, today you get people and they're sort of, some people don't care, they just drink and smoke and do with the run of the world and do the things that they shouldn't be doing, spend their wages all on drink. Oh yes, there's plenty of young men tonight and they'll come home with a good wage, and by Monday morning they couldn't, as they say here, they wouldn't have two pennies to rub together. All goes into the publican. All goes in the pub. All goes on drink. And you know, all those things, all for something that's going to decay away. You know, that's why the thing that we hymn writer said, "Build your hopes on things eternal." Don't put the doubt on these things. These things, they'll pass away. The heavens and the earth will pass away. The Bible said it. Said that God will fold them. Will decay. But his word will never pass away. It says not even one jot, not one tittle of the word. That's what it says. Not pass away. You know, I'm glad for that tonight. You know, someone may tell you, "I'll do this, I'll do something for you." And they might mean well enough, but circumstances might lay it that they can't do it. But that will not ever happen with God. He says that whosoever cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Not only did he say that, he says that whosoever calleth upon him shall be saved.
Amen.
So you see tonight, God's words, the truth, and God's words forever settled in heaven. It can't return to live away. What he said, it has to take place. It has to happen. Someone said, oh, well, I done this, I done that, it didn't happen. But let me say to you tonight, you give God the chance. You rely on God's word. Don't start to question it. Take it as it is. Accept it as it is. And believe it. And you'll see that God will do what he says he'll do in the Bible. You know, I come down the road one day, I was at a funeral, and I come down the road behind two men. And they talked about the great night they had. It was on a Christmas Eve. And they talked about the great night they had in the pub. And the great time that they had in the pub. And they talked about it on that day. We went to a funeral. And a man got up in that establishment. I couldn't call it a church. He got up in that lodge. And he spoke to them people. He never once told them that they needed to be saved. He never once told them that if they weren't saved, they were on the route to hell. He never once told them anything like that. He circled round the edges of everything. He brushed them up. You're dead off. Oh, you're not too bad. Oh, you're all right. Ach, you know there's people doing worse. You know the rich man lifted up his eyes. He was in hell. That's where he was. He was in hell. He was too late, wasn't he? You know, Jesus said about this. He said Lazarus lay. He was a beggar. He lay at the gates. And the dogs came and licked his sores. Said he died. And he went to heaven. Said the rich man fared sumptuously. Every day had everything he needed. He didn't need anything. You know, I remember a man one time and he was giving out tracts and he went to the house of a well-known people that we would have known back 30, 40 years ago. And he wanted to give out a tract and the man said, I wouldn't take a tract after you. I don't need a tract, he says. And the man says, oh, how's that? Well, he says, take a look at my garage. What do you see in my garage? He had a big house and big gardens, and his garage was open, and halfway out of the garage sat a Rolls Royce. And the fellow looked across and says, a Rolls Royce? He says, that's right. He says, there's an old one round the corner. He says, if I wanted to go to the city, that car took me. He said, if I wanted to go to Dublin, he says, that car took me to Dublin. That car took me anywhere I want to go. He says, I don't need your track. The church I'm going to will take me to heaven. The church I'm going to, he says, will take me to heaven. If you never had a breath, you'll not be there. That's the truth. You know, he said, well, that's an awful thing to say. How can you say that? I'm saying it, but it says it in the Bible. Jesus said to Nicodemus. Now Nicodemus wasn't just an ordinary rabbi. Nicodemus was a skilled man. He was a schooled man in the things of the Bible. And Jesus said to him, marvel not that I say unto thee that thou must be born again. And you know what Nicodemus said? Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? I'm a grown man. Can I enter the second time my mother's womb? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but of that which is born of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Regenerated by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You know, it says that that same veil, Moses covered his face. And the Bible tells me that that same veil is still on them yet, covering their face. They can't really see the truth about Christ. But the there's going to come a day when Christ is going to reveal himself to them again, and that veil is going to be lifted from them, and they'll believe. But the gospel came unto the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul brought this gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And that was the opening of the word of God to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And when Peter went up to the house, what was it, Cornelius, and went up and spoke to them at the house, God poured out his spirit upon them and opened their understandings and their hearts to the truth of God. And what you need tonight, you need God to come and open your heart and open your understanding that you can receive the truth. You know, people sometimes, you know, don't be slack in praying for your loved ones. Don't never let the devil put you out and say, oh, I've prayed and prayed. Now, our eldest lad tonight, he's not, watch what I say on the tape, but not to embarrass anybody but that there, but all his wages will go every week. He'll go on the pub. He's 50 years of age, they are dead. Now, someone might say to you, oh, I've prayed and prayed for him, but I don't know how or when, but I know God will deal with it. And I believe it.
Amen.
You know, my own father now, he was a sort of a man. He maybe hadn't a whole lot of time at one time for the gospel. And we were brought up to go into a Presbyterian church. And we went in that church every Sunday. And I used to go in the church after we had the Sunday school lesson. And I couldn't wait till it come a certain time on the clock to get out. You know, it's an awful thing to say it. I'm ashamed to say it, but I'm going to say it to you for it might help some of you tonight. I couldn't listen to them. You know, you talk about, what is the word they use? Boring, if you're fed up with something. I thought it was so boring. But sometimes he would preach on church history. And when he preached on church history, it just seemed to me like 5 minutes. I was really interested in that. I liked to know about church history and why he knew about it. But now, as far as born again, I couldn't say that he knew about it. I'm sad to say that tonight. Maybe he did, but this is my own thinking. And I'm only telling you what my experience was. But you know something? Like he said some things that were real good. But if you've never had a breath, you say, but listen, John Wesley preached he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. He went to preach to the Red Indians in America. There's a statue of John Wesley in Savannah. Me and my wife were seeing it. He went there, he come home. And God saved him while he was preaching one of his own sermons. What do you think of that? God saved John Wesley. And that changed things. And you know, I think what Tommy said about this morning about Bro Branham had the cross in his car. He seen, he looked at the cross, he had the cross in his church. He had it at the front of the church and the back of the church, I think. And every time he looked, it was the cross. And we read this morning, all glory, not only in the cross. And that was Paul's whole preaching, was the cross.
Amen.
And the resurrection from the dead. And when Paul gave his testimony before Agrippa and before they was digging into rice, it was there. One of them said to Paul, you're mad because of much learning. He says, I am not mad. But he said, do you believe it's hard that God could raise the dead? You know, God's able to raise the dead. He's going to raise the dead. It's going to be a resurrection unto life.
Amen.
It's going to be a resurrection. If you want to be in that life and have that life, then you need to have that birth. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. You know, maybe you think, you know, maybe you think, you say to yourself, oh, I'm too young. I'll wait till I'm older. Well, you mightn't get the chance to wait till you're older. You know, things can happen. Really happen just like that. And maybe you have no control over them. But you know, the thing about it is to be ready. You know what Solomon said? He said, remember Thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, boy, thy evil days come now. You know, I, not so long ago, I happened to be talking to a man, and I was talking to him, and I said to him, there was a wee farmer on, and the man that owned the wee farm, I said, where did he go? He said, boy, he's in a home. He says, he's in a home. And I says, oh, he always seemed to me to be not that old of a man. He always looked a right fit man any time I'd seen him on the road or seen him about. He says he got to be that he didn't know where he was going. And he got to be, he would sit up all night and lie all day. And then he said he got to be, he would go out on his tractor and he would drive for miles away, maybe to some wee village or another town, and he wouldn't know where he was, he wouldn't know the road home. And then he got the brother, he couldn't contend with him. So he got to be, he had to go in a home. And there was an R man, which was an R neighbour man, and he finished up in the home too. And neither of the two men knew all. Yet with all, when they were there, so you see, he didn't know how, that man didn't know anything. He couldn't remember nothing. He couldn't remember anything. So the Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil times come now. You know, sometimes people, they glance over. It's not that you don't know, but God, the Holy Spirit, needs to open your heart. He says, unto me, he says, wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread? He says, you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself and fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with thee, even the sure mercies of thee. You, God will not break his word to you. If you come, God will save you. Just as I am and without one plea. You know, you can come to God. You know, as a young man, I was maybe in the 20s, just a little over 20. And I accepted the Lord as my Saviour. And you know, God seemed to move in my heart in a powerful way and move upon me. And God began to speak to me. And I used to take this wee yoke, like a wee microphone, you could hang it over your shoulder. And I used to go on the streets. And I would preach on the street corner. And maybe in the different places I would speak here and there. And I went along to a wee assembly, and they thought God had quit healing. They said God didn't heal anymore, and God didn't do this. They had a whole list of what God didn't do. They seemed to know everything that God didn't do. And you know, I would say, well, he done it in the Bible. Aye, but they say that was Bible times. That's not now. But you know, I couldn't accept them. You know, I said one time to a teacher in school, I said, what about the demons that the Lord cast out of the madman of Gadara, that the swine ran down the hill violently and were drowned? I said, where did them demons go? Well, she said, they don't exist now. I said, that's strange. Where did they go? Where does it tell you? Where did they go? Oh, she says, no such thing as that now. There's nobody demon possessed now. That's what she said to me. She didn't know any different. Well, I didn't know a whole lot more. She knew a lot more. Now, don't misunderstand me. She knew a lot more than I did. She would, you know, she was a smart woman. But yet with all, she didn't know that. But as time went on, I started to go to a Pentecostal church. And I started to go to a Pentecostal church, and when I started to go to a Pentecostal church, what I thought was great. You know, I want to say this to you tonight. Maybe it's going away a wee bit from what I'm trying to say. But you know, they used to start singing the same courses. They could have sung one course for an hour. They weren't short meetings, but they didn't seem long. And you know, they could have sung for an hour. Maybe one course for an hour. And they would have sung different wee courses, by they were great. And maybe the Spirit of God would have fell in that meeting. And maybe someone, I remember the first time I ever heard anybody speak in tongues. And when I heard them speak in tongues, you know, the only description I can give it to you is like this. You know, it made the hair stand on the back of my neck. And the hair stood up on my arms and everything. I could feel my hair standing up on me when I spoke with it down. And you know, then this old man, he gave an interpretation. And the interpretation described everything I was thinking. Exactly all that I thought. Just said it. And I said to myself, I wonder, is that for me? Is that for me? And you know, you see, God confirms his word.
Amen.
I can remember an old man used to come to speak at their meetings. He was an old man then, maybe 76 years of age. He was called John Reed. He was known as the prophet of the mind. And John Reed could have pulled you out lattice of testimonies, as thick as that, of people that were healed from cancer. I remember a woman in the meeting, and she had a great big cancer on the back of her arm. Now I tell you, it was big. It was so big. I don't know, back in Australia, why in Ireland here we have trumps, and trumps can go fairly big, a trumpet. And it just looked to me like the size of a trumpet in the back of her arm. And she had actually a wire cage over, and it was sitting up like that. And he said to her, could she take the bandage off it? And she loosed it out. It looked like a fungus growing out of a tree. That's only how I could describe it to you. And you know, he took her by the two hands and he bowed his head. And he was a very quiet spoken man. He wasn't a loud man. And he just stood her two hands, and the only prayer he prayed, he said, Lord, I curse this accursed thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it wither and let it die. Amen. Do you see the next day? Fell out in the back of the horn. Do you see in a short time you'd have never known you had a cancer?
Amen.
It was cursed just like Jesus cursed the fig tree.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, God's real. I remember the first time I ever heard a tape of Brother Branham. I never heard nothing like it in my life. And it wasn't a great tape, but this man had a tape. And it was, he says, this wee man, he says, boy, he's some ministry. But he said he's badly off and often. But I'll let you hear the tape anyway. And you know, he put on the tape and he told of how the angel came to him. How the angel, what the angel looked like, about the size he was, and how he come to him, and how he spoke to him. And how he told Brother Branham he had this supernatural ministry and the gift of healing. And how he told him that he would know the secrets of the people's hearts. And these different things that he said to him. I never heard nothing like it. To me, I want to say this tonight, I want to say it, Reverend. Now listen, some people think you talk too much about Brother Branham. I'm not talking too much about Brother Branham. I know, we don't worship a man. We know he was God's prophet and God's servant. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did he point us to? He pointed us to the Lord Jesus and to the truth of his word, back to the original truth of God's word. That's what he come to do. Just like John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. And there it was. When I heard these things on the tape and the different things that he said, then I would hear odd bits of the sermon. Then I remember hearing the sermon, the anointed ones at the end time. I maybe didn't understand it all at the time. But later on, I come to understand it. And you know, I don't want to say this quickly. Our time's away, isn't it, Tom? Let me say this quickly. I'll not keep you any longer. Say this quickly to you tonight. You know, one thing and another thing happened. There was a split coming that we assembled, we went in, and they split into two halves. And when they split into two halves, one half remained in the dead. They were only a small group, and they are half split. And you know, God spoke to me at that time, and he said, these people are real. They shouldn't have split. They should have come together, and what their difference was, they should have talked it out and prayed about it. But they didn't do that. They rose up in the flesh. They done what James said in the book of James, they were consumed one of the other.
Amen.
They warred against one another. And you know, some people may say, oh, I don't know. Well, I went in a Pentecostal meeting one Sunday morning. And I come out that Sunday morning and I said to myself, I'll never set foot in a gospel meeting in my life again. That's the finish of it. I'll never go back. And I come out And that was one of the greatest mistakes in my life that I ever made. I made a whole lot, but I'll tell you, that was the worst one ever I made. And I come out and I went back out into the world. And I got involved in things that I shouldn't have been involved in. I got involved in, I would have took a drop of drink, and I started to smoke a pipe. And I started to do a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. You know, I had some of Brother Brown's books. I quit reading them. I didn't read them anymore. I sat them down. I had my Bible. I would read my Bible now and then. I only prayed when I was in trouble. And that's the way it was. And I was in the world for a good number of years. And I can tell you something. Don't you think, you say that old fella's up there and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what it's like to live. He doesn't know this or he doesn't know that. We used to work in nightclubs. Me and another fella, when we were up ourselves, we used to do the doors in the nightclubs. And we used to work about the city. And I can tell you there were some rough areas in the city. And there were some shady boys and some shady characters. And you know, one of the places we used to work in, the students from Queen's University used to come to it. They were the worst crowd to come. You were going to have bar, if you had any of them in, you could be sure you'd have bar that night. That was the way it was. And we used to work in those places. And all, you know. And one thing and another thing happened, and the next thing, Tommy got up till he had left school and he was working. And they cut the whole story. I couldn't go into it all. I couldn't possibly tell you it all the night. But just like it, quickly, one thing and another thing went. And Tommy left home. One thing and another thing took place. And so forth. And my wife dreamed a dream. And she said to me, a dream, she says, Tommy's been killed in a car crash. And I said, we can't accept that. We must never accept that. We're going to have to do something about it. We're going to have to pray. Well, you know, if you don't live right and you go to pray, the devil will accuse you right away. Now, don't let me discourage you tonight, but if you've done something you shouldn't do, you run right quick to Jesus. For remember, a prophet of God said the blood lays there.
Amen.
And I tell you, in John it says we have an advocate. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And right quick, I said we'll have to pray. And you know, I smoked the pipe and all, and sort of one thing and another thing took place. And I went out one morning for the prayer. I had to, like I said, I never prayed, only were in trouble. And I went out to pray, and I went out to a place, a quiet place, and I sat down on the stump of a tree and bowed my head and I prayed, and it didn't seem that anything happened. No, absolutely. Sometimes you pray, you know, you can sort of feel, you have a witness in you, or a feeling on you that God has heard you, and you'll feel good. Now that's like a physical feeling you feel, but that's not really faith. Faith is the matter what you think. You see, all the centurion said to Jesus, you speak the word. The Jew wanted the hands laid on him. The centurion said, speak the word. The Gentile said, speak the word. That's what he said, and Jesus spoke it, and the sermon was made toast. And I sat down and I went to pray and I went to pray and I prayed and I prayed, and the next thing, you heard a clear voice come to me. And the clear voice didn't say, now God has heard you. The clear voice accused me. And I had a coat on here like this, and I had a pipe in the top pocket. And it says, do you think God will hear you in your old pipe stuck in your top pocket? He says, do you think God will hear you? He says, God, now go home. He says, God never heard you. You know, I got up and I said a mirror to myself, and I said, well, I suppose that's right. God hasn't heard me. And I come in. And some of our children were still small at the time. Some of them were still wee, like these wee lads here. And we farm sets over their place and all. And I wasn't a man for carrying a pen or writing. I'm not a scholar by any means. But I lifted this pen. And on this pen said, be still, and know that I am God. When I read it and I looked at it again and I said, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what I've done? I shouted at the top of my voice. I'd say the whole row heard me. I'd say they heard me for half a mile away. Maybe what? If I didn't shout, I shouted. If I shouted the night like it, I don't know if I still could shout like it or not, but I did what happened to you. And I shouted out like this, I held it up like this here, and I said, devil, have a real good look at that. For that's God's word to me. And I'm depending on that word, I'm staying on that word. You know, I still carry it in my pockets. I might even have it in my pocket in my coat tonight. Possibility I would have it here tonight. Always carry it. I have two or three, I carry them in my pocket. There it is. They still know that I'm God. That's God's promise to me. I can do anything on that word. Anything, nothing's impossible. Anything on that word, I can pray for you. I can talk to you. I can pray for myself. I can thank God for his blessing because that's God's word.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am God. I'm in control. Listen, you might think that God's not dealing with you, but I tell you tonight, God's dealing with you. God's working on your
Amen.
Life. God knows your situation. God knows your heart.
Amen.
And God's going to bless you. And things are going to change for you. And what you have known is going to change. And you're going to become a different person in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you believe it.
Jesus.
Because God's able to do it. I come home one thing, you know, when that happened. You know what happened? Things went from bad to worse. Things got worse. Everything that could happen, happened. It seemed like everything was going the opposite road from what should have been going. It seemed if I had stopped for a moment or two and sat down, I would have said, well, God didn't hear my this imagination. But I didn't do that. I held on to the truth. I held on to God's word. You know, I held on to the God's word. The next thing Tommy got into the Crumlin Road, he was in the Crumlin Road. He was in RB jail before. Then he got in the Crumlin Road. And he got in the Crumlin Road in one thing another. And you know, I thought I'd never hear tell of Brother Branham in my life again. You know what I used to have? I've got a Bible in the house. A wee bit smaller than this. And in the front of that Bible, I have a wee photo of Brother Branham that I cut out. And I stuck it in with it. Still, I think it's still in front of me. And you know, somebody said to me one day, "Off them people's worshipping the man. You know, they made that man an idol." And I said, well now, I wouldn't want to make a man an idol. I never meant to do that. And I didn't do it. But you know, the enemy accused me of it. But let me say this to you. I thought I'd never hear tell of Brother Branham in my life again. I thought I never ever would hear of him again. I come home this evening. And my wife says to me, what do you think of that there? And I says, what should these tapes? And I says, tapes? What? Where did you get them? She said, somebody brought them up and left them the day. She says, them's the tapes of Brother Branham. Yes, we started to play them tapes in the house. We started to play them. And God moved and Tommy is here tonight preaching the gospel. He's here tonight because of God's mercy and God's grace. And I can tell you tonight that God's a God that hears
Amen.
And answers prayer. You know, about this stuff, I've kept you too long. I'm sorry if I've kept you too long. I apologize for keeping you too long. I didn't mean to keep you as long as I did. But I want to say this to you tonight. You know, I maybe didn't go into this the way I should. But I want to say this to you tonight. You know, if you go anything looking today, you maybe need a pass, or you'll need a cure, or you'll need something else, or you'll have to go through some higher security, or you'll have something to do. But you know, you don't have anything to do here. Only come as you are. You don't even need money with you. You don't need anything. You don't need to be specially dressed up. You don't need to be looking what you think's your best. All you need to do is come as you are. Come as you are. That's it. You can come to him and he'll meet your need. No, I believe tonight, what I say this tonight to you, I say, don't go weary in well doing. You know, I said this one week here, in the world you shall have tribulation, but Jesus says to you, good cheer, I have overcome the world. Another thing he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never let the enemy overwhelm you. Always always remember that God is always only a prayer and answer away. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you need. God, he's the thing, of course, I've seen it, we've sung it for an hour. God is on the main line now. God is on the main line. Tell him what you need. God is on the main line now. If you need the Holy Ghost, tell him what you need. God is on the main line now. If you need the healing in your body, tell him what you need. Hallelujah. God is on the main line now.
Amen.
Praise his name. I'm not going to go. I'm sorry now if I kept up. Maybe I went over my time. I normally don't speak up. Half an hour normally would do me. But praise God tonight for his mercy and for his grace. And Gary comes. Just let me just... Just last 1 second just before Gary comes. Father God, I thank you, Lord, tonight for every brother, for every sister, for every dear soul in this house tonight. And oh God, I pray, God, that you'll confirm your word in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, you'll bless those that's in this house tonight. I pray, God, touch people in their bodies tonight. Touch hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, meet that need of that dear sister, that dear brother, that dear boy and that dear girl. Father, tonight I commit them to thee. And Lord, I commit myself to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And oh God, we pray tonight you'll receive honor and glory, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Now, Lord, confirm thy word and let us hear a testimony that you spoke to people in this house tonight and that you blessed them, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor and praise for belongeth to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Gary, amen. Thank
you, Lord. Amen. Let us stand on our feet. Of course, we can say,